Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Bishnu Shom. We have two debates lined up for you this evening. Firstly, the RSS linked weekly Panch Janya has hit out at the e-commerce major Amazon, terming it the East India Company 2.0. It's also alleged that the firm has paid crores of rupees in bribes for favorable government policies. Now, this isn't the first time that Panch Janya has hit out at corporates. Infosys has also been targeted recently. The arguments in the piece have been echoed by traders' bodies who insist that Amazon follows unfair practices. That's what we'll be looking at first. Also on the show tonight, another huge loss for the Congress party. Luzinho Falero, a congressman of 40 years, quits the party. He writes to Sonia Gandhi. He says, the Congress is not the same party for which we have fought. He sees no hope or will to prevent the collapse of the Congress, and the need of the hour is to take decisive action. That's going to be our second debate this evening on Left, Right and Center. But first, the big debate, corporates versus those affiliated with the RSS. Let's just start out with that by taking a look at some of the points mentioned by Panch Janya. Let's roll that graphic first before we bring in what has actually been said. So after Infosys, they have targeted Amazon. They have said whatever the East India Company did in the 18th century to capture India, the same is visible in the activities of Amazon. They've said for doing so, Amazon has started, in order to try and take over India allegedly, they've started taking initiatives for seizing the economic, political and personal freedoms of Indian citizens. Reports that it was paid crores in bribes for favorable policies. So these are just a couple of allegations. Now, we've got a response from Amazon as well. While they decided not to respond to the specific allegations made in the Panch Janya piece, let's change and let's bring you the Amazon response. They have pointed to their earlier remarks where they've said that Amazon has had a positive impact on small businesses. Over 25 lakh MSMEs work with Amazon in India, including sellers, artisans and weavers, delivery and logistics service partners. During the pandemic, 3 lakh new sellers joined Amazon, of which 75,000 were local neighborhood shops. They've also given several other details, and we're going to try and go to all of them in a while. But joining us now, Gopal Jain, the senior advocate of the Supreme Court. We're also joined by Praveen Khandelwal, the Secretary General of the Confederation of All India Traders. Let me go across to you first, Mr. Khandelwal. The point mentioned by Amazon is this, that in fact, they work with Indian industry, MSMEs. Over 25 lakh MSMEs work with Amazon in India, including sellers, artisans and weavers. Why are you so opposed to them?
Well, let me first clarify that whatever Amazon is saying, it is merely an eyewash. If really they have empowered the 25 lakh artisans or small retailers, then why 80% or 90% of their sales are routed through their affiliate entities like CloudTel of Mr. Narayan Murthy, Aperio, so far so on. So this is a false narrative which Amazon is trying to build. And what we are arguing since last more than 2 years, and we have submitted various evidence to investigate, then why Amazon went to Karnataka High Court and get it rejected. Then Amazon moved to Supreme Court. Also, their plea was rejected. They were trying to dislodge the investigation.
I'm going to fix your line in just one moment from now. I want to go across to Gopal Jain. Gopal, the point being mentioned by Mr. Khandelwal is that these numbers that Amazon has spoken about, 25 lakh MSEs apparently working with them, he says that this isn't correct. How would you respond to that?
Well, you know, firstly, let's take a contextual and a holistic look at it, that we are going to move towards a digital economy in the future. Yes. And e-commerce has shown, particularly in the pandemic, how helpful it has been at this point in time when things come straight to one's homes and doorsteps. Now, all the facts and data can't be self-judged by any party. And that's the basic principle of the rule of law, that if there is an investigation, you don't prejudge it. The investigation brings things out. Likewise, if data has been put on, it's a question of then validating that data. But I think we have an atmosphere which is what I call a very hostile adversarial atmosphere, where it's literally pulling people down. But I think if you look at it in the larger context, now that we are part of a global economy, our prime minister has recently traveled, he met top business leaders, we talk about ease of business. I think it's important at the end of it not to have a war like on a LAC. It's what is good for the nation, for the economy, for sectors. If it's worked well from an investment point of view, from a service delivery point of view, from SMEs, MSMEs going from offline to online, I think one has to work in collaborative partnerships to make this stronger in the larger interest rather than doing the tutu meme.
Mr. Khandelwal, one of the points mentioned by Amazon is that they've got an exports program out of India that's witnessed huge growth and momentum. 70,000 plus exporters on the program from metros as well as tier 2, 3 and 4 cities, selling crores of made in India products to customers in 200 countries across the world. So the point that they're trying to make is that rather than keep Indians out, they are including Indians, not just for the Indian market, but for 200 plus countries.
I'm telling you, first of all, I don't buy arguments of Mr. Gopal Jain. I have my serious differences with what Mr. Jain has added to. Secondly, what you have said that they are having almost more than 70,000 exporters to their list, to whom they have empowered. It is totally a fallacy. If they are very serious, can they name just 500 sellers? Those who have been given export opportunities through their platform. My submission number two is that whatever Mr. Jain has said, will you allow a company, whether it is foreign company or an Indian company, to flout the law of the land? What is Amazon doing since last more than 10 years in India? They have openly flouted the law and the rules, FDI
What rules and what laws? What allegation are you talking about, sir? Because there are multiple allegations. Yeah. So name one so that we can get a response.
I will name four and five. See, we have to give a look at the FDI policy 2016, threshold number two, which was later amended in 2018. That policy has four or five very specific verticals. Number one, they will act as a marketplace only. They will not undertake any predatory pricing. They will not have any inventory management. They will not have any preferential sell-up. They will have to maintain even level playing field. And there are many other issues. Right at this moment.
Okay, one second. You've made lots of points over there. Has Amazon, Gopal, gone beyond its legal brief in India in terms of how it functions?
Well, again, like I said, there could be allegations and counter-allegations. But when we say going beyond legal brief, there first has to be some parameters on the basis of which an independent adjudicating or impartial body looks at it and arrives at a conclusion, right? Now, let's take an example of some of the things which we see played out in the public domain. I did a bit of research and I was quite astounded to find a word which I came across when we were studying intellectual property as a subject called passing off. There's a company, I think, called Amazon India Limited. I believe it's owned by some developers and builders called Parasnath. They showed some legal fees in rupees 10,000 and 38,000. That, unfortunately, has been sort of converted into crores. So it's a company which is, I suppose, as I mentioned from what I could see, owned by some developers and real estate people. It was in thousands of rupees, and the word CR gets supplanted. It becomes a big issue. Okay. So I think we shouldn't prejudge things. We shouldn't have a rush for judgment, right? It's always nice to sensationalize, exaggerate. But I think we should let facts and figures speak for themselves in context, not blown out of proportion. And again, it's for all the concerned agencies to examine it and then opine, rather than for us, as I said.
Mr. Khandelwal, would you like to respond to what Gopal is talking about there? Because what he is referring to are the series of allegations which have been raised right?
See,
that apparently, Amazon was paying off in order to get favorable government policies. They have said they don't tolerate corruption whatsoever. They have said that they welcome any inquiry. And they have said on record that the numbers which have been stated are in fact grossly exaggerated and misreported. How do you respond to that, Mr. Khandelwal?
Mr. Gopal Jain doesn't have the correct information. The complaint made by us to CCI was given with relevant evidences. We are not talking in the air, and we are not making lofty claims or lofty allegations. Our each allegation is validated with the evidences which has been given to CCI, which has been given to
Alright, sorry, we've lost that line from Mr. Khandelwal's line, but I just wanted to go back to Gopal for one point over here. Gopal, one of the points which has been mentioned is that in this Panjanya piece is that Amazon floated supplier entities such as CloudTail and Aperia, in which it has a significant stake and indirect control. Therefore, it's not as if small traders are being benefited by a larger platform.
Vishnu, as I was just saying, these are endless debates which would happen. Ultimately, there has to be a conclusive determination. Mr. Khandelwal was mentioning about evidences given to CCI. That's given by way of information. CCI then has a very rigorous process of starting an investigation and an inquiry. And that's exactly the way it happens. So it's very, very important not to lose sight of the fact that in a rule of law, we have certain mechanisms by which these things are determined. And like I said, it's time to put the sparring aside and look at it in larger national interest. And I think the fact that these sectors have seen tremendous amount of investment, they've given an opportunity for offline SMEs and MSMEs to come on board, is something that we need to take into and factor.
Okay.
And lastly to say, I think the e-commerce policies still have a long way to go. And you've seen recently when the rules came out under the consumer protection rules, it's been the subject matter of intense debate with different government departments themselves saying, look, we need to reconsider them. So I think it's very important to have what I call sensible forward-looking policies which work for a sector as a whole.
Okay.
And it's not A versus B.
Mr. Khandelwal, 30 seconds to you. We've got your line back.
Yeah. I will like to just add that we are not against e-commerce per se, but yes, we are against the malpractices being conducted by both Amazon, Flipkart and other people. Number one. Number two, whatever evidences have been given to...
All right, apologies. We've lost that line again with Mr. Khandelwal. We'll try and resume this debate on another occasion, but a series of allegations made against Amazon in Panjanya, the RSS journal, those in Amazon or those who speak for Amazon say that e-commerce platforms should perhaps not be targeted in this manner. Let there be an independent inquiry. Moving on to our next subject, another huge loss for the Congress party. Luisinho Faleiro, a congressman of 40 years, has quit the party. He's written to Sonia Gandhi. He says the Congress is not the same party for which we fought.
Goa needs a credible alternative. Our enemy is BJP. Our goal is to defeat these divisive forces. I'm going to fight.
Another blow to the Congress, the exit of former Goa Chief Minister Luisinho Faleiro. The 70-year-old Congress veteran who resigned today as a Congress MLA gave strong indications he's heading for the TNC.
Among all the four Congresses which I have just mentioned to you, it is Mamta who have given the tough fight to Narendra Modi and their juggernaut. Mamta formula has won. She has been able to stand. She is a street fighter.
The latest setback deepens the Congress decline in Goa. 2 years ago, 10 of its 15 MLAs quit and joined the BJP. Rushing to fill in the vacuum is not just the Aam Aadmi Party, but also now the Trinamool Congress, which has stationed its leader Derek O'Brien in Goa to drive its expansion. The Congress, which just a month ago lost Sushmita Dev, a veteran from Assam to the Trinamool, tried to put a brave face to it.
People who don't have the patience or the perseverance or the strength to face the might of this government are free to choose whatever they want to choose.
The ruling BJP is watching from the fences.
I don't think we should be responding much or be looking much at this very seriously, because this is between the Congress and the TMC.
In a letter to interim Congress President Sonia Gandhi, Luisino Ferrero has explained his decision. He says the local leadership of the party has abandoned the principles of Indira Gandhi, Rajiv Gandhi, Mrs. Sonia Gandhi and Rahul Gandhi. Luisino Ferrero is a Goa veteran who, if he joins the TMC, will help that party expand its footprint in the state. And his knowledge of the Northeast and especially Tripura makes him perfectly fit into the TMC scheme of things. In Mumbai with camera person Praveen G. Rohit, Saurabh Gupta, NDTV.
All right, another disastrous setback for the Congress party over there. We are joined by Tulio D'Souza, spokesperson of the Goa Congress, Bishwajit Deb, the Trinamool spokesperson, and Valmiki Naik, spokesperson of the Aam Aadmi Party, another party looking to make its mark in Goa. Tulio D'Souza, the letter written by Mr. Ferrero, perhaps one of the saddest, where he says this is not the same party and that he's had to quit this because it's essentially finished. How would you respond?
See, Vishnu, Mr. Luisino Ferrero has been a senior leader of the party in Goa. He has been the chief minister of the state twice. He has also been the state PCC chief on two occasions. He has also been the AICC general secretary in charge of the Northeast state. So Mr. Ferrero knows the Congress party very well, and he knows the entire party setup. In fact, it is quite surprising that today he came out with this statement that the party is not going as per the principles and stated objectives of all the leaders, like from Mrs. Gandhi to Rajiv Gandhi and to Mrs. Sonia Gandhi and Rahul Ji. So what we feel is that probably there was another game plan by either the parties that he is seeking to support, or he himself had other intentions in mind.
No, obviously, there was another game plan, but this game plan wouldn't have worked had he chosen to remain in the Congress. But let me go across to Bishwajit Deb. Mr. Deb, it's now just a formality, right? What role do you expect Mr. Ferrero to have in your party? He has a certain role also in Tripura, for example, where he's had a real, he's worked very closely with the Congress in the Northeast. And now, obviously, he's a veteran Goa leader as well. Is this how you're going to make your mark in Goa after Tripura?
Well, he's a very senior leader of the All India Congress Committee. There's no doubt about it. And he was the chief minister twice in Goa. And he has categorically mentioned that Mamata Banerjee is the symbol of woman empowerment in India. And she is fighting the divisive forces. She is fighting the autocratic forces. She is the face against the fight against the autocratic and divisive forces. And people have full faith and
trust. So what role will he have in the TMC, sir?
Goa,
Mr. Deb,
Goa needs
what role will he have in your party?
She's the, yes.
What role will he have in your
obviously,
party?
Obviously, he will lead the party in Goa. Obviously, he will lead the party in Goa. And he has also mentioned that he is sick and tired of Congress. Congress, he has suffered silently in Congress, and he will not allow the Goans to suffer more. So he will lead the Trinamool Congress in Goa, and he is also a very experienced politician so far as Northeast India is concerned. He has got a wide experience in Northeast politics. He has been in charge of Tripura, Mizoram, Meghalaya, and all the Northeastern states.
Mr. Deb, half a second, Tulio D'Souza wants to come in.
I would like to
not
know
only Mr. Filario,
he was personally
there are other leaders also.
Because if he was speaking for the people of Goa that were suffering, we would like to know how much of this suffering he has ventilated within the party forum in the last 4.5 years.
Sir, the fact of the matter is that he is gone from your party, whether he's ventilated for the people of Goa or he's vented for himself. He's gone.
He was
keeping himself aloof from the party.
All right, both of you, half a second. I want to go across to Valmiki Nayak, spokesperson of the Aam Aadmi Party in Goa. Valmiki Nayak, how do you see the entry of Mr. Falero into the Trinamool Congress? Go ahead.
Vishnu, this is not a surprising development at all. Nobody is stunned because this is just another development in that saga of the betrayal of people of Goa by the Congress Party, which started in 2017. The people of Goa made Congress Party the single largest party in the general elections of 2017. But for some inexplicable reason, Congress was not able to form the government and Goans got a BJP government instead. The Congress Party basically sold the mandate that Goans had given to them to the BJP. And not only did it sell the mandate, it provided after sales service as well. If you remember, they sold one MLA to the BJP in 2017, two in 2018, and then at a wholesale rate, they sold 10 MLAs in one go to the BJP in 2019.
No, but so this is just another Congress MLA. Congress in Goa.
I can tell you if I come in at this.
No, there is nothing to worry about because today Goans have a very clear and single alternative in the form of Aam Aadmi Party. They are regretting that they did not give AAP a chance in 2017.
No, but Mr. D'Souza, this has been very problematic. Mr. Falero has today hit out at Digvijay Singh, saying that he handed the BJP the platter in 2017.
But how does that help now when this matter is 4.5 years old?
So it clearly doesn't help. No, that's the point.
Falero himself,
you've lost him.
And Mr. Falero himself was the PCC president in charge of electing a CLP leader and taking a claim to form the government. He failed in this matter.
But Mr. Luisino Falero is also not the most innocent person. He has been involved in these type of politics since the 1990s. And if you remember, being the AICC General Secretary of the Northeast, a Congress president of a Northeast state accused Mr. Falero of trying to dislodge top leaders of the Congress in the Northeast and hobnobbing with BJP leaders. So
I'll
we cannot completely
next,
absolve Mr. Luisin Falero as being upset with just the Congress. He has his own agenda to fulfill as well.
Mr. Deb, go ahead. Last word to you. Yes.
Yes, he's 40 years. 40 years he has served the Indian National Congress. And now he has realized that Congress is not the alternative to BJP. It is only the Trinamool Congress under the leadership of Mamata Banerjee who can really fight this autocratic BJP, this divisive politics of BJP. And that is why he has decided that Goans will be safe only under the leadership of Mamata Banerjee. And Goans seriously need Mamata Banerjee to lead Goa. And Mr. Falero, with his experience, will do the needful. We are sure about it.
The electoral prey in the state to say that they are going to not only lead the party and win the elections, when the mood of the electorate in the state is that the Congress Party should form the next government. And in the past, when Mr. Falero was the people of Goa does not believe
Vishwajit Deb, are you talking to other Congress leaders as well? Mr. Deb, are you talking to other Congress leaders in Goa also?
The people of Goa, they do not believe the leaders in Congress, in Goa. The reason is, they have already...
All right, look, I need to wrap this up. I'm completely out of time. But here are three opposition parties who say they're all committed in the fight against the BJP, but three opposition parties fighting against each other, at least in the context of Goa. I need to wrap this up. Thank you, gentlemen, very much for being with us. A couple of questions which were raised on coup on my previous debate, which was on Amazon. There is Nidhi who's written in saying, is Amazon somewhere really exploiting our economic freedom? Kiran Dahal writes in, why do people consider this company a threat to indigenous entrepreneurship, economic freedom and our culture? So a couple of questions on that first debate on a day in which Panchjanya has come out with a blurb about an article that they're going to come out in their new magazine. They are the RSS Journal, criticizing Amazon and its practices in India. Out of time, we'll take this short break. Stay tuned.